Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heathered Sixth Ward this beautiful Easter Sunday. President John Anderson is presiding at this meeting, and my name is Brother Beckstead. I'll be conducting today. What a beautiful Easter Sunday to reflect and celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ and his atonement. How grateful we are for him. We'd like to welcome all those who are here for the first time or visiting. Thank you for joining us and hope you feel welcome today. By way of a few announcements today, one is next Saturday and Sunday is General Conference. So everyone prepare spiritually for the feast that we'll be experiencing from our church leaders then. Also to put on your calendars, State Conference will be coming up 2 weeks after that, April 23rd and 24th. Also, a final reminder, we're really looking forward to the stake trek that's going to be coming up this summer, June 15th to 18th, and we remind all youth that haven't got their applications in to get them in, trying to get all those in by Thursday this week at the latest. So please see Brother Butler for that information. We will now open our sacrament meeting by singing hymn number 198, That Eastern Morn, after which our invocation will be offered by Brother Randy Porter.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Thee this beautiful Easter morning with gratitude in our hearts for Thy Son, His atoning sacrifice for us. We are so grateful that through His atonement we can overcome sin and death, and pray that each day we will remember the atonement in our lives, by our actions, how we treat one another. We are so grateful to be here to partake of the sacrament, the emblems of Thy Son. And we pray that we may always remember Him, that we may keep the commandments, we pray that we may carry that spirit throughout our week, and as we prepare our hearts to receive the messages this day, we pray a blessing upon those who will teach us from this pulpit as well as from our individual classrooms and quorum and Relief Society. We pray a blessing upon those who teach us that they may be inspired and that our hearts may be open to the messages. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We received the following membership records into the ward, and we invite them to stand as their names are read. David and Shanna Holland. Those that can accept these members in full fellowship back into the ward, please indicate by the uplifted hand. The bishop has a couple of items of business.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Could Sam Shaw join me here at the podium? It is proposed that Sam Shah be ordained to the office of teacher in the Aaronic priesthood. All those who can sustain him in this ordination, please do so by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also manifest it. Thank you, Sam. Thanks. Could Mariah Misbach join me here at the podium? Mariah Misbach, a young woman in the Heatheridge 6th Ward of the Orem, Utah Heatheridge Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has faithfully completed all the requirements necessary to receive the Young Womanhood Recognition. She honors her commitment to live the commandments and the standards of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as stated in For the Strength of Youth. She has strengthened her faith in Jesus Christ and her testimony of his gospel. She is committed to keeping her baptismal covenants and is preparing to make sacred temple covenants. Congratulations, Mariah.
We have a wonderful Easter program today that we're looking forward to. We will begin by hearing from Sister Cassidy Cannell, after which the primary will have a special musical number or two. After the primary, Sister Christina Beebe will speak to us, and then we will have another special musical number, He Lives, with Dana Roberts at the violin and Cami Buma at the piano, after which Ann Johnson will be our concluding speaker. Sister Cannell.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Cassidy Cannell, and our family used to live in the ward, and we moved away for a little bit to Florida, and we are now back. And I was asked to speak on the atonement. And personally, this is one of the scariest things to give a talk on because there's so much to cover. But I believe that the real message of the atonement and the resurrection is the eternal light of Christ. As children, we learn to keep the darkness away by turning on the light. Sometimes when our parents went away for the evening, we would turn on every light in the house. When they came home, my mom would say that it looked like our home was replaced by the mothership. Even as children, we understood the physical law that is also the spiritual law. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Light dispels darkness. When light is present, darkness must depart. More importantly, darkness cannot conquer light unless the light is diminished or departs. When the spiritual light of the Holy Ghost is present, the darkness of Satan departs. We are engaged in a battle between the forces of light and dark. If it were not for the light of Christ and his gospel, we would be doomed to the destruction of darkness. But the Savior said, "I am come a light into the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord is our light and literally our salvation. Like the fire that surrounded the children in 3rd Nephi, his light will form a protective shield between us and the darkness of the adversary as we live worthy of it. We need that light. We must learn to claim the protective light of the gospel as our own. You may wonder, how can I do that? There's only one way. You must learn to generate the light each day by believing on Christ and following his commandments. How do we open our eyes to the hope of God's light? First, just start where you are. You don't have to be perfect to experience the blessings and gifts of our Heavenly Father. We don't have to wait to cross the finish line to receive God's blessings. The blessings of heaven begin to pour upon us with the very first step that we take towards light. The perfect place to begin is exactly where you are right now. It doesn't matter how unqualified you may think you are or how behind you are from everybody else. The very moment that you begin to seek your Heavenly Father, the hope of his light will begin to awaken your soul. The darkness may not dissipate all at once, but like night, it always that turns till dawn, the light will come. Second, turn your heart towards the Lord. Lift up your soul in prayer and explain to your Heavenly Father what you are feeling. Acknowledge what you're struggling with. Pour out your heart and express your gratitude. Let him know of the trials you are facing. Plead with him in Christ's name for strength and support. Ask that your ears may be opened, that you may hear his voice. Ask that your eyes may be opened, that you may see his light. Third, walk in the light. Heavenly Father knows that you will make mistakes, and he knows that you will stumble, perhaps many times. This saddens him, but he still loves you. He doesn't wish to break your spirit. On the contrary, he wants to raise you up. He wants to raise you up to be the person that you were designed to be. To that end, he sent his son to the earth to illuminate the way and show us how to safely cross the stumbling blocks that are placed in our path. He has given us the gospel, which teaches us the way of the disciple. It teaches us the things that we must know, do, and to be, to walk in his light, following in his footsteps of his beloved son, our Savior. Yes, we will make mistakes, and yes, we will falter. But as we try to increase our love for God and to love our neighbor, the light of the gospel will surround and uplift us. The darkness will fade because it cannot exist in the presence of light. As we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And by day, the hope of God's light will grow within us. Anyone who feels they walk in darkness can rely on the promises spoken by the Savior. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Yes, from time to time, our lives may seem to be touched or even wrapped in darkness. Sometimes the night that surrounds us will appear overwhelming and frightening. But darkness cannot stand against the light of Christ. We can open our hearts to him, seek him through prayer and study, come to church, learn of him and of his gospel, participate actively, help each other, and joyfully serve God. Even after the darkness, the darkest night, the Savior will lead you to a gradual, sweet, and bright dawn that will assuredly rise within you. As we walk toward the hope of God's light, we will discover the compassion, love, and goodness of a loving Heavenly Father in whom there is no darkness at all. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and happy Easter. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Christina Beebe. My husband gave a talk almost a month ago, and I was supposed to talk before him, but I got sick that week, then I had surgery, and then I was out of town, and then I actually got sick on Thursday, so I was actually about to cancel again, but I kind of felt bad, and today was like the first day that I woke up without excruciating pain, so that was really good. I felt like that was also a sign, so that was good. My husband and I, we just moved into the ward on January 1st on Mountain Oaks in the cul-de-sac. And we have, he'll be two next month. He's a little blonde boy over there. It causes a lot of commotion, and he's a cutie. Yeah. My husband and I, we met at BYU, and the stereotypical story, he was my FHE dad. We also graduated at the same time. He graduated in computer science, and I graduated in communication disorders. So right now he works for this golf management software company or something called 4UP that he'll probably correct me on later. And I just started working as an ABA tutor for a nonprofit organization called Kids on the Move, and I work in their autism department. So I was asked to give a talk several weeks ago about Dieter F. Uchtdorf's talk titled It Works Wonderfully from this past October's general conference. We're all trying to follow the path of righteousness that leads us to our goal, our ultimate goal, to return our Heavenly Father and to live with Him. But we are all different, and we all lead different lives with different blessings, and more importantly, with different trials. Sometimes I feel inadequate at times and wonder whether I'm doing my part to remain on the path of righteousness. And in President Uchtdorf's talk, he explains that one way to figure that out is by asking the right questions, the kind of questions that help us ponder our progress and help us evaluate how things are working for us. Questions like, do I believe in God? Am I truly happy? Do I believe that God hears me and answers my prayers? Does my life have meaning? And are my efforts leading me to the highest spiritual goals and values in life? These profound questions are often asked by people who end up searching for truth, and they're often led to our church and to the gospel. These questions should be asked by everybody, including ourselves, as active members of the church. Alma asked a similar question to church members in Zarahemla when he asked, have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts, and can you feel it now? By thinking about the words of Alma, it may help us realign our daily efforts with the divine plan of salvation. Many members in the church will often answer the Alma's question with a great experience in the gospel and as members of the church, and answer that their experience is really, really working for them. But there are also other members that may feel like their experience might be less so and might be a little less than fulfilling, and that the church is sometimes not everything that they had actually hoped for. So why does one's experience in the church fill them with love and with light, while another's experience fill them with a sense of lacking? There are two points that will help us as members to evaluate this, and that we could also ask ourselves, or that we should also do ourselves as active members of the church, or as those that feel maybe a little bit of lacking. The first point is to simplify. And the second point is to start where we are. When I was younger and I was growing up and I was a teenager, I didn't know where I wanted to go to college. And that was up till I was 18. I didn't know where I wanted to go to college. My dad gave me an ultimatum. You're either going to BYU or you're going to the university back at home. I didn't want to stay at home. So I was like, okay. I also did not have a strong testimony in the gospel. I went to church without much of an experience. My parents actually ended up forcing me to go to BYU, but I say forced because I actually paid for it all. They didn't pay for any of it, so it kind of doesn't make sense, but I guess their authority and dominion over me had enough of an effect for me to be like, okay. And I knew it was a good school and that I'd get a really great education, and it happened to be away from home as well, so that was, it was great, yeah. While at BYU, I actually still did not have the greatest testimony. I focused more on school as opposed to my testimony. It was also due to my lack of going through the necessary steps to attain a testimony. I did have good friends. My roommates were my best friends. They were really great, and they still remain some of my best friends. They had really great testimonies, and they were really great examples to me. And my sister was also a roommate of mine who had a really great testimony. And we all went to church together every Sunday, and I guess I was also used to going to church, so I just continued to go to church. And while at church, I would always feel a little bit inadequate to be there or to even take part in church activities or anything like that. A friend of mine ended up, through bad choices and bad experiences, a friend of mine ended up betraying me shortly later. And that was kind of like my final straw. And I had been crying all week, and it was really messing up my studying and my school schedule. And for whatever reason, I finally decided that it was time that I should probably go talk to the bishop. And so I went and talked to the bishop, and he gave me some very wise counsel. And upon leaving his office, I stepped out, and I left this enormous weight behind. And I still remember, like, the feeling, like, I was lifted up. It was really great. And I never cried after that for that specific reason. I noticed the change in my quality of life as well after talking to the bishop, and that was the start of my real testimony. When I went to church, I started listening to the lessons, and I was paying attention, and my testimony started then and there, and it started by simplifying and by simplification. In President Uchtdorf's talk, he asks, "Are we making our discipleship too complicated?" He recites a story about a sister who was known for her quilting in the ward. And she wanted to make this very extravagant, beautiful quilt for the lesson that she was preparing for Sunday. But life happened, and certain things came up throughout the week, you know, and like a grandson's graduation and all this other stuff. And the day before the lesson, she hadn't finished the quilt. And she was really intent on making this quilt. And so she stayed up to the early hours of the morning making the quilt. She finished it, and she went to church the next day. And she got through the lesson, but she was exhausted. And she didn't feel the Spirit probably as much as she had wanted to. This story from the talk told me that she was piling too much onto herself, and she needed to focus more on the basis of the quilt, which was the lesson, rather than the quilt itself, which should have been a less important part. Living the gospel can be very straightforward, and it can be described in many ways. And one way is hearing the word of God with earnest intent leads us to believe in God and to trust his promises. And this point is how my testimony started. And the Sunday after I talked to the bishop, I went to church and listened to the lessons that were being taught earnestly. I listened with intent to believe in God, and the lessons taught that Sunday felt like they were tailored to me and my needs. And I've experienced that ever since. Every time that, I mean, I'm sure there's several Sundays where I'm just kind of out of it, you know. I also have a 2-year-old running around and whatever. I have my excuses. But on the times where I'm present and I'm listening to the lessons and the talks that are given, no matter what the subject, whether it seems completely unrelated to me, I'm always able to pull out something that seems extremely tailored to me and my situation and my current status in life at that moment in time. And if it happens for me, I know it can happen for everybody. So that was one point. Another way to describe that the gospel can be very straightforward is because of our love for God, we desire to follow him and bring our actions in alignment with his word. So the first point that I had talked about was simplifying. The second point, as I said before, is to start where we are. When I talked to the bishop and I started to go to church with true intent, I started where I was. I had felt discouraged and a bit ashamed before, and I felt inadequate, but I had a firm understanding that God knew me very well and knew, and I and would accept me for who I am, no matter the stage in life that I was at. I also knew I wanted to change for the better, and there was no better way to do that than through the gospel and through going to church. For some of us, we may feel discouraged because we are not more spiritual, more giving, more intelligent, healthy, friendly, more compassionate, etc. And we can all always improve, but remember that our weaknesses can make us humble and can help us with our testimony. Our weaknesses make us turn to Christ, who will always make our weak things become strong unto us. And God will take you at this very moment, and all we need is a willing heart and a desire to believe and to trust in the Lord. Try not to look at yourselves through your own eyes, as we are our worst critics. Envision looking at yourself through God's eyes. He loves us all tremendously, even though we sin and even though we make mistakes. He knows us and knows everything we do. He knows everything we've done, and he knows everything we will do. He knows what we'll become, and he loves us, and loves us no matter what, no matter what mistakes we'll make in the future, no matter our past. If we focus on the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity that is Christ, and if we allow Christ to accept us where we are now, we will be lifted to where we are aiming to go, to live with our Father in heaven. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. Thank you to all those that have preceded me. You have set the stage beautifully for my remarks. Before I start my talk, I want to introduce myself because these two young ladies they're new in the ward. I'm old in the ward, or experienced in the ward. I have been in this ward for 30 plus years, maybe not in the same building, but with the same kind of core ward family. What a blessing that has been to my life as we have walked the path of discipleship together for all these years and served one another and helped one another and loved one another. Great blessing in my life. Just had to share that. Last week, we had the opportunity of attending the temple dedication. And next week, we have the opportunity of participating in General Conference and listening to apostles and prophets tutor us and teach us. And this week, we have the opportunity of reflecting on our Savior Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice and his resurrection as we celebrate Easter. I love the holidays. I love especially the holidays that give us an opportunity to draw closer to our Savior and to contemplate his life and his great sacrifice that plays such a major role in each of our lives. At Easter time, I love the opportunity that we have to gather with our family and our friends and be together and celebrate in a number of different ways. I love the food that we get to eat at Easter time. I love the different activities and celebrations that we participate in. My talk is titled The Gift of Grace, and it was a conference talk that President Uchtdorf gave. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the most long-awaited and glorious event in the history of the world. It is the day that changed everything. On that blessed day, the Savior of mankind set each one of us free. The Savior's atonement cannot become commonplace in our teachings, in our conversation, or in our hearts. It is sacred and holy, for it was through this great and last sacrifice that Jesus the Christ brought salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. A powerful expression of that love is what the scriptures call the gift of grace, or the grace of God, the divine assistance and endowment of strength by which we grow from flawed and limited beings we are now into beings of truth and light. It's a most wondrous thing, this grace of God, yet it is often misunderstood. President Uchtdorf teaches us first how grace unlocks the gates of heaven, and second, how it opens the windows of heaven. Because we have all sinned and come up short, every one of us is unworthy to return to God's presence. We cannot earn our way into heaven. The demands of justice stand as a barrier. which we are powerless to overcome on our own. The grace of God is our great and everlasting hope. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the plan of mercy appeases the demands of justice and brings about means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. Let me say that again. Faith that we may have, I'm sorry, a means that faith that we may have faith unto repentance. Because our beloved Savior gave himself a ransom for all, an entrance into his everlasting kingdom is provided for each one of us. Now the gate is unlocked. With the gift of God's grace, the path of discipleship leads upward. It leads to heights that we can scarcely comprehend. And to inherit this glory, we need more than an unlocked gate. We must enter this gate with a heart's desire to be changed and to become his sons and daughters. Another element of God's grace is the opening of the windows of heaven, through which God pours out blessings of power and strength, enabling us to achieve things that otherwise would be far beyond our reach. It is by God's amazing grace that his children can overcome the undercurrents and quicksands of the deceiver and rise above sin and be perfected in Christ. Though we all have weaknesses, we can overcome them. Indeed, it is by the grace of God that if we humble ourselves and have faith, weak things can become strong. Throughout our lives, God's grace bestows temporal blessings and spiritual gifts that magnify our abilities and enrich our lives. His grace refines us. His grace helps us become our best selves. Recently, I have been called to be a temple worker, and I'm in training. I want you to all know that there are angels in the temple that serve in the temple. Now, I'm not in that category yet, but I'm hoping that my service in the temple will enable me to become more like those angels that are there. I love being surrounded by them. Last Tuesday was my second time, and I'm observing as I serve there for the day of Tuesday. And we were working on a particular ordinance, and there was a sister, a patron, who built my faith like you cannot believe. She was so limited physically, and she was a more experienced sister than I am, and she was limited in her ability to remember also. So she had the faith that if she did this work for this person that she wanted to do it for, she would be enabled. And I thought it was a beautiful example of grace as she walked assisted with a cane to participate in this ordinance. She came forward. You could feel her faith. And I was grateful to have been part of that. And then when it came to what she had to say, she didn't remember any of what she had to say. But the temple worker assisted her. And she repeated everything perfectly. And she completed that ordinance for the sister that she was doing the work for. And she accomplished that desire of her heart and goal that she had that day to do something for someone else who could not do it for themselves. And what an experience that was. What an experience of the grace of God that was, as we all shared in a faith-building and testimony-building experience, assisting her to accomplish that work that day. Well, who can qualify for this grace? I would like you to read, as you have time, about Christ's visit to the home of Simon the Pharisee. And then ask yourself, are we more like Simon? Are we confident and comfortable in our good deeds, trusting in our righteousness? Are we perhaps a little impatient with those who are not living up to our standards? Are we on autopilot, going through the motions, attending our meetings, yawning through gospel doctrine class? That's for Peter, of course. And perhaps checking our cell phones during sacrament service? Or are we like the woman in the story, who, though she was completely and hopelessly lost, who thought she was completely and hopelessly lost because of sin? Do we love much? Do we understand our indebtedness to Heavenly Father and ask for His grace? Salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. It is purchased by the blood of the Son of God. So why then obey? Brothers and sisters, this is so core to this whole talk. We obey the commandments of God because we love Him. Therefore, our obedience to God's commandments comes as a natural outgrowth of our endless love and gratitude for God's goodness. This form of genuine love and gratitude will miraculously merge our work with God's grace. Living the gospel faithfully is not a burden. Grace is a gift of God, and our desire to be obedient to each of God's commandments is the reaching out of our mortal hand to receive this sacred gift from our Heavenly Father. Today and forevermore, God's grace is available to all whose hearts are broken and whose spirits are contrite. President Uchtdorf encourages us to see with new eyes and a new heart the eternal significance of the Savior's atoning sacrifice and show our love for God and our gratitude for the gift of God's infinite grace by keeping His commandments and joyfully walking our individual paths of discipleship. I leave this with you in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank all those who participated in today's sacrament meeting, for our speakers, Sister Connell, Sister Beebe, and Sister Johnson, and the musical numbers and the primary as well. We will now close by singing hymn number 200, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, after which the benediction will be offered by Brother Robert Ivey.
Sons of men and angels, sing, Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful at the close of this Easter Sabbath meeting for the messages we've heard and the spirit of this meeting. We are grateful for the atonement of our Savior, for the opportunity it provides for us to return to Thee. We are grateful for the great plan of happiness that teaches us about this life and our opportunities to find joy and happiness here. We ask a blessing that we may take the spirit of this meeting with us this week, that we may find opportunities to share our love and compassion with those around us, that we may share the gospel, and that we may follow in the footsteps of thy Son. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.